Thanks for downloading Scott Harold's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
We're talking about being undefendable today at SOS Radio with Ryan Leake. And over the course of our lives, Ryan, we're going to run into people we disagree with, and then we're going to run into people who disagree with us, right? It's inevitable. But the key is not staying in that place where we say, I take offense to that.
Right. I think that's a motto that I've adopted in my life. And I think it's a motto we all should adopt, because I think now more than ever, we have so much room to be offended and so many issues to disagree on. I mean, the other day, I heard two people getting into a fight over wearing a mask and not wearing a mask, and they left offended over mask wearing. I mean, not to mention race or politics or some heavier issues. So, I think now more than ever, we've got to be people that are unoffendable.
It's so interesting, because when we're offended, we stop listening, don't we? It's like something goes into our spirit, something takes root, and it's just like that edge comes out where it's just like, argh. It's like there's trigger words, there's buzzwords, there's things. Somebody might even start saying it, and you just all of a sudden, you hear that word, you tune it out, and you're like, oh, it's inside me. I'm not listening. I'm not into this anymore. No, I don't like this person. It's like, wait, how did I get to that place?
You know what's so interesting is I actually just wrote a message on not judging. Okay. The subject was given to me by a church. Okay. They said, hey, we want you to talk about Jesus's words, do not judge. So at some point I end up using the word prejudice, because the very definition of prejudice is to judge someone before you actually know them. But even using the word prejudice puts everyone on edge because of the connotation that I'm going, I haven't even brought up race. I haven't even brought up diversity. I haven't brought up anything that's happening right now, but even just using the word prejudice puts people on edge. Also using the word privilege. Like, I can't even say, man, I count it a privilege to be on your show today. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean privilege now? I can't even use the word privilege anymore. I mean, there's just so many hot buttons, and I think we've got to look inside ourselves and go, man, is there something deeper going on?
I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in a culture where everybody just seems to be offended by so many little things, and they turn into big things because we've taken offense. Something's taken root. We're actually talking with author Ryan Leake today at SOS Radio. Ryan's the CEO of a leadership development firm in Dallas, Texas, also known for his risk-taking endeavors. I mean, Ryan, you proposed and married your wife, Amanda, on the same day. You got to tell me that story.
About 9 years ago, I overheard my wife tell a friend she thought it would be cool to get engaged and married on the same day. I had no idea what that meant, so I guessed. And over the next 2 years, I began planning our wedding behind her back. So on June 7th, 2013, I got down on one knee. I said, Amanda, will you marry me? She said, yes. I said, just kidding. Will you marry me today? We opened up this lounge room door, and about 100 of our family and friends were standing in there with a sign that said, today. We rolled in the dress, hairstylist, makeup artist, everything that you would need to get engaged and married on the same day. We were engaged for like 10 hours, I want to say. and got married that night. And I had a buddy there filming the whole deal. And, you know, we put it up on YouTube and it went viral. Now people say I'm a risk taker. So been married 7 years, 2 kids. Can't complain.
We're talking with Ryan Leake today at SOS Radio, and he has a book. It's called Unoffendable. No offense, none taken. It's a weird season that we're in, Ryan. I mean, diversity, racism, privilege, masks. They all just seem to be buzzwords. And somebody brings up any of those, it's like you automatically go to, oh, I have an opinion on that. My wife and I were talking about the other day. It's like, I don't think we have to have an opinion on everything right now.
Right. I echo your wife's sentiments. She sounds like a very smart human being. I think somewhere along the lines, there is this invisible rule that no one's ever said out loud, but it's like we're all operating under this invisible law. And it's this: the only way that you and I can have a great relationship is if we agree on everything. It's the only way. It's the only way that we can be good friends. It's the only way that we can have a great marriage. It's the only way that we can be great business partners is if we agree on everything. And that's just not true. And I love what Dr. Tony Evans said about a month and a half ago. I heard him say this. He said, oneness does not mean sameness. In other words, we don't have to think the same for us to be unified. In fact, unity is when we actually make space for perspectives that are not our own. And so one of the people in my life that I disagree with the most is my brother, okay? I love my brother. My brother is my best friend in the whole world. We debate things almost every single day, and we talk 5 times a day. So we can disagree about diversity at 10 a.m. and be talking about the NBA at 11:45. That's just our relationship. We have made space for each other's perspectives. And guess what? There's a lot that I have learned from him, and there's a lot that he has learned from me. We're not any less close. There is no love lost just because we disagree. And if I can do that with my brother, then why couldn't I do that with my coworker that I don't have to do Thanksgiving dinner with? We don't have to agree all the time for us to truly be unified in respect that you might vote for someone differently than I do. And that doesn't put you in this category of we're against each other when we're living in the same country and right now we're on the same radio show. So I think there's so many things that are polarizing and we've created way too many us's and them and not enough we's and hey, we're getting in this boat together. And like you said at the beginning, when we're constantly sharing our opinion, we're not listening very well.
We're talking with author and filmmaker Ryan Leake today at SWS Radio, and you're talking about how you and your brother both had a dream of playing professional basketball, and you're actually given that opportunity. It was like, I'm going to try out for the Phoenix Suns.
After the surprise wedding went viral, my wife and I had an opportunity to go on the Queen Latifah show. My wife surprised me by connecting me with the late, great Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant came on the screen, and he said, hey, Ryan, at that point, I peed on Queen Latifah's couch. Now, after that, he said, hey, I want to send a formal invitation to you to come to Staples Center and just hang out with the fellas. So I had 2 months to prepare to meet Kobe Bryant. So I started practicing what I was going to say in the shower. And I was like, oh, this isn't working. You know, do I wear all purple or all gold? Like, Ryan, dressed like a normal person. I'm just going back and forth on what will create a good conversation between me and Kobe. And so what I came to the conclusion of was that the only way that me and Kobe would have an engaging conversation is if I was in the NBA. Now, I was an All-American in college, but I chose speaking over pursuing a professional basketball career, but I can play. Well, as I started getting back in All-American shape to prepare for some sort of NBA workout, I realized that I would indeed fail. And so I aborted that mission. And then I thought, wait a second, why do we do that? Why do we abort missions before we even know that we're going to fail? Most of us spend a lot of time pre-calculating future failures. And if we see that we could fail, we just don't even try. And so I decided I wanted to go against the grain and do something different. And so I started a project that day called Chasing Failure. It's a documentary on asking the question, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And when I answered that question, I said I'd be in the NBA. So when I met Kobe Bryant, I said, hey, my name's Ryan Leake. I'm a filmmaker. My next film's called Chasing Failure, and I'm going to be in the NBA. He said, do it. I said, I didn't think you were going to say that. I thought you were going to tell me how hard it is, but he just told me to do it. And so I started emailing NBA teams, and the first one was the Boston Celtics. They said, hey, this is a great idea. We like the idea of chasing failure, but it's just not for us. Best of luck with your endeavors. I was like, okay, well, that's discouraging. And then I thought, but man, did an NBA team just email me back? Like, this is amazing. I didn't even know that could happen. So I thought, one team down, 29 to go. In fact, I'm going to write a book and do a documentary on being told no by all 30 NBA teams. This is going to be great. And fifth email to the Phoenix Suns, they said, come on Monday. And I was like, this Monday? Are you serious? And so Chasing Failure is my second documentary where I had an opportunity to try out for the Phoenix Suns. And spoiler alert, I failed. But I truly believe it's one of the best days of my life because the fear of failure was broken off of my life.
So you say you failed, but what was the lesson that you walked away with? It wasn't.
Well, the lesson that I walked away with was we shouldn't be afraid to fail. What I experienced in Phoenix and in many other areas of my life was what every successful person has ever felt, a moment of shame, a moment of fear. And those moments actually build your character. They shouldn't defeat you. And so I think so many people are afraid of failure, whereas I'm a little bit more like, I want to empty the chamber. I want to go to the grave knowing I did everything I possibly could. I started 2 podcasts mid-COVID. People are like, why? I'm like, it's the wrong question. Why not? Like, let's go. Let's do this thing. So that's what I learned in Phoenix.
In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and don't give the devil a foothold. We're actually talking about taking offense and how that relates directly to anger. And we're talking about that with Ryan Leak today at SWS Radio. It's interesting because it talks about like having righteous anger in the Bible. But then a lot of times we just think like, well, I'm righteous in my anger, and we stop there. We forget the part where it says, yeah, don't let the sun go down. Don't hold that overnight. Don't carry it into the next morning.
I think all of us constantly looking for a way to justify our opinions, justify our attitudes, justify our words, our thoughts. As a person that communicates scripture to thousands of people every single week, I'm going to let people in behind the scenes a little bit. I can make the Bible say just about whatever I want it to say. And when I get there, that's the problem. Whenever I start pulling all of the scriptures that support what I already believe while ignoring the ones that might contradict my opinion or my perspective, that's why teachers should have so much accountability. That I'm not just communicating things that make me look good or support what I already think about the world and people and God. Now, when we go to scripture, it should be challenging the status quo. It should be making us move towards something that makes us feel uncomfortable, because the words of Jesus should challenge us, should convict us. And as it pertains to our anger, if we have it, we really need to lay that on the ground and go, is this a righteous anger? Or is this a me just wanting the world to be different? And because it's not, I feel like I have a right to be angry. And so I think we have to truly decipher between that and not just pick out the verses that support our theories.
We're talking about owning our anger and figuring out what we actually do with that with author and filmmaker Ryan Leak on SWS Radio. It's like, Ryan, we hold on to these grudges. People do things against us, and yeah, that's legit, and we can own that. But what have you learned about how you take that anger and you say, okay, I'm going to do something with this, but I want to do something that's right?
I think one of the things that I encourage people to do is to call a timeout. And what I mean by calling a timeout, that means you're pausing. Because here's what I think we've all learned about moments of anger. 98% of the time that we've gotten angry, days later, we've regretted what we said or did in that moment. Hindsight's 20/20. We look back and we go, you know what? Now that I've had a couple of days to sleep on it, now that I've had a couple of days to get some other perspectives, now that I've had some time to cool off, here's my second draft of how I want to address this issue. That's what happens 98% of the time. And so for me, what I try to encourage people to do is I try to say, why don't we try and do what we would do in the second draft on the first draft? And the only way to do that is to pause, take a time out and go, all right, let me pull out the notes from last time. And I remember when I overreacted last time and that's how I felt. Given in this moment, how can I still remain to have an honest conversation without sacrificing my authenticity? So for me as an African American, I've had well-meaning white friends say racist things to me. I've had that happen. And in the moment, I was very upset. But because I called a personal timeout individually and I just took a deep breath, and in coming to address them a week later, I was able to actually speak truth and love and just say, hey, I want you to know this happened a week ago, or hey, this happened a month ago, and I just wanted to give you perspective. Hey, you may not have meant to come across in this way, But I just want you to know how that would make me, as your friend who is African American, how that would make me feel, and also how that might make someone else's African American feel who has no relationship with you at all. But the fact that we do have relationship, I can come to you with something and let you know how it made me feel. But when there's no relationship, there's always going to be a ton of offense and a ton of miscommunication.
Ryan, what's the best way to speak to sensitivity when you're having some of that tension inside, where whether you're angry or whether you feel there's been injustice in your past or in your family and other people just aren't seeing it and they're not taking it, they're not talking about it sensitively, and it frustrates you. When you're talking about race, we don't want it to be polarizing, but we do want to have the honest discussions with our friends.
You know, whenever you're talking about sensitive subjects, there's a couple of things, a couple of guardrails, guidelines that I try and encourage people to live by. Number one, you want to find the healthiest space to have the conversation. What I mean by healthy is where the stakes aren't as high. So for example, I don't think social media is the best place or the healthiest place to have conversations. I think conversations are best happen either over the phone or across the table. But I think when you open it up to just so many, you can have too many cooks in the kitchen, and then all of a sudden everyone's just shouting and no one's actually listening to other people. The second thing that I think about whenever we're talking about sensitive subjects is I always encourage people, you want to be the student, not the expert. Back to, you know, something you said earlier, what your wife said, is why do we feel like we always have to have an opinion about everything? And I completely agree. And the thing that I would encourage people to do is to say, but perhaps we should be a student of things that other people really care about, especially the ones in our lives. People have their soapbox, okay? People have their thing that they care about, that they feel like the whole world should care about. There are people who feel like global climate is the number one issue the world is facing. And that's their soapbox. And most people will go, well, that's not that big of a deal. But to them, it is. And so I think no matter what the issue is, I was talking with somebody a couple of days ago, sex trafficking on the rise in Dallas, Texas. But that doesn't get headlines. It doesn't get the hashtag. And so who are we to say this is a bigger deal than this? Well, it just depends on who you're talking to. And so what I've learned is that it's always best to be a student, to essentially try to be the dumbest person in the room. So if I'm talking to you about how to produce a radio show, why am I going to insert my opinion when I don't have a radio show? Or it's funny, like when talking about race, you know, I'm very surprised as to who is an expert on that and who isn't. It'd be like me talking about women in business. It's like, but Ryan, how can you be an expert on that if just because you worked with a couple of women in business? Because you have a couple clients that are women in business? Like, it doesn't make you an expert on that.
I'm married to a woman in business.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, like it doesn't give you credibility. And so ultimately, I think what we have to do is when we enter into these conversations, we should enter into them with more questions than opinions. Just going, man, you know what one of the number one questions I ask all of my clients? Hey, what's it like to be you? Because I don't know. And it's so easy to assume that I know, but until we get to a place of humility in our hearts where we go, because I can't tell you how many conversations I've endured where there has been things being said about African Americans. And for me, you have no idea how hard it is for me to lean into that conversation and go, tell me more. Why do you feel that way? What's been your experience with an African American in that department? It's so hard to go that direction instead of going, are you out of your mind? I can't believe you would say something like, and sometimes that's needed, but it's rarely helpful. And I'm in the business of being helpful. And so I think being able to lean in and go, well, let me make sure I even know what you're saying. And sometimes a person's processing out loud and they misspeak. So sometimes asking questions gives them an opportunity to say, all right, man, what's really in your heart here? What are some of your biggest fears? Dude, you know what's so funny? One of the questions I'll ask a lot of my white friends who are in leadership, I'll say, hey, what are the questions you have about Black people that you're afraid to ask out loud because you're afraid of looking racist? And they're like, question. Is this a trick question? And I'm like, no, it's not. Because I want to give you a safe space because I know what it's like not to have one. And to me, that's at the heart of the gospel. It's not trying to get people to do things our way. It's actually doing the thing you wish was done for you. And sometimes that's the hard thing and it's the unpopular thing. But I think it's the Jesus thing to do.
We're talking with Ryan Leake today at SWS Radio, and he's an entrepreneur, former All-American basketball player, filmmaker, and he actually has a new book. It's called Unoffendable. No offense, none taken. Thanks for calling in today, Ryan.
No problem.
Thanks for streaming Scott Harrell's podcast from SOS Radio.
If you're one of our regular listeners,
would you consider giving it a 5-star rating?
It really helps spread the word.